All right. Today we're going to talk with Kevin about getting his grandson getting suspended for bringing a weapon to school. Except what if it's not really a weapon? What if it's a yellow toy gun with misshapen orange polka dots? Kevin Wooster is with us now. You can find his blog at sdpb.org/Wooster. Kevin, thanks for being here.
It's always good to be here, Lori. Yeah, even if I have to, I'm just coming off a 3-day suspension for the 8-year-old.
3 days of suspension. So why don't you give us the background of the story, and then we'll sort of dig into the nuances of it.
Well, you know, this is one of the many things that poor people at school have to deal with these days. There's so many complicated issues coming at them, and, you know, this is one of them. At a time when kids with BB guns end up getting shot somewhere, some parts of the country, and where there's concern about safety in school, and you know, you're never exactly sure in some areas whether there's a BB gun is a real gun or a toy gun is a threat to somebody. So they've got very specific rules here on bringing weapons, including toy guns, and that comes under the weapons policy of the school. Is any imitation or imitative, I guess, or toy gun is also banned from school grounds, which makes sense to me. The suspension thing, I think, is kind of part of the issue that we look at. But we got a call from the principal there on Friday saying that our grandson had there were a couple times he referred to it as a weapon, and of course I argued about that. even though it's under the weapons policy, I refuse to call it a weapon. It's a plastic gun that's orange and yellow and shaped like a gun, kind of. But it's as one of the people that we showed it to said, it looks like a gun that Bozo the Clown would carry. and you know, he had his backpack and out in the playground showed it to his friend. Apparently, based on everything we hear, that's all it involved. Put it back in the backpack and wasn't flashing it around in the halls or pointing it at people or threatening anybody with it, and went back into the classroom. The boy, his friend, told the teacher, and the teacher told the principal. Apparently that's the protocol, you know, and you can see that if a kid sees a gun, a real gun or a real threat, they should report that. So I'm sure they're all well schooled appropriately enough in that, and that's what my grandson's friend did, and away we went. Pretty soon we were looking at, you know, I assumed there would be detention and loss of this and loss of that and, you know, a real, real obvious punishment for breaking a rule. That's an important rule. And when we got into suspensions, that's when I kind of was surprised. And both my wife and I were kind of surprised.
And whatever happened to the naughty drawer?
That's a conversation I had with a guy that's almost as old as I am. We were talking about it. And he said, what happened
to
the drawer? Don't they have the drawer anymore? Which was where, you know, at the old Chamberlain Elementary School, if you pulled out your jackknife while every kid in the gravel parking lot had a jackknife in his pocket, but you weren't showing them off, or they'd get taken away and put in the drawer. You know, I think every school had a drawer. Every teacher probably had a drawer where things went in there, whether it was a pack of cigarettes or some gum or a jackknife or a toy gun or whatever that was being a distraction would go in the drawer. Maybe you'd get it back, maybe you wouldn't.
You know what, Kevin, there probably is a drawer still. It's just filled with fidgets.
Yeah.
And pop sockets. And
I'm sure there is a drawer.
There's still a drawer, yeah.
And maybe that's where the plastic, where the Bozo the clown's gun is sitting right now up at school. And of course, then we went in and we went through a process. And it's a very defined weapons policy that includes lots of things.
We're making light of the Bozo the Clown gun and the naughty drawer, but there's a history in the state, on both sides of the state, with violence in the schools, and certainly a national, national conversation as well. So there's a loss of privileges. There's a loss of innocence as well.
When you've got some of the horrors that have been visited on our public schools, like Columbine, like Sandy Hook, how many could you name that aren't quite that bad but are in their own way horrible and tragedies to the people involved that just stay in the memory? And there's a demand for safety, and there should be a demand for safety. And, you know, in Rapid City, I mentioned that in the blog, back in 91, we had a kid at Stevens High School, came into class with a sawed-off shotgun, ordered the teacher out, held 20-plus students hostage for 3 or 4 hours, shooting the wall, shooting the ceiling. Finally, there was a chance for another student to... And, you know, the the thing was averted. That kid, that same kid, 7 years later, died in another tragic standoff, another state. I mean, so and then there's the Harrisburg principal, the shot by a kid. So I understand why the firearms and the weapons rules in schools are so strict. I just wonder about that. Our conversation with the school administrators, who were great to us, and they listened to us, they listened to our concerns, and you know, this is a great school. I mean, I just can't tell you how much we love Wilson School and what that school means to us and to our grandson and to the other kids in our family that have gone through there. And so we obviously go in there with respect. We don't go in there screaming at people. And we had a conversation and got maybe a little shorter sentence than we thought we were going to get, but still 3 days suspension, which means me rearranging my schedule, even though it's fairly flexible these days, to be home with him and to help him with makeup work and stuff, and so, probation for the rest of the school year. He can't be doing anything like that again, or more days come off. So,
what kind of conversations do you have then with your grandson during that time to sort of help put this in perspective for him, and what is he saying back to you?
Well, that's an interesting thing, because he's been confused about this from the start, you know, because he and another pack of the kids run around this neighborhood, and I don't bring toy guns into this house that look like real guns, and I think that's something that we just have to stop doing. And when I was growing up, we all had guns that looked like real guns, all of us kids, and I just think it's a bad idea in today's age to have something that looks like an AK-47 or a Glock that just can go nowhere good, ultimately. And so he's got a lot of goofy looking guns, you know, Nerf guns and this thing which doesn't shoot or do anything, and some water cannons, you know, that all look funny. They don't look much like guns at all. And these kids run around the neighborhoods with these things, and they play with each other and shoot water at each other, and sometimes they shoot Nerf bullets. And you know, so it's not unusual for him to have one stuck somewhere, and apparently he had it stuck in his backpack. And I'm not clear, because he's not speaking, and a lot of times he says he just doesn't remember whether he intentionally took that to school or whether it was in the backpack anyway, and then he showed it to the kid. I think probably he took it to school to show it to him, but I don't know that. He's confused on this, and the last thing he said to me in the way on the column was, I asked him how he was feeling after we were at the meeting at the school, and he was embarrassed, and he was, you know, kind of a dazed look on his face, and he said, I'm confused. Maybe when I get to be older, I'll be old enough to understand it. And I said to him, I'm not quite there yet myself, because of not just this, but the whole issue of guns and schools and safety. It's so complicated, and it's such a difficult thing for administrators to handle.
Teachers have been warm and open to him and help him process this?
They're great. I mean, the staff there has, because he's had some issues and some behavior issues, and they've worked with him on not threatening to other students or anything like that, but they are so good to him and have been so good to him, and they tailor their school day for individual kids to help them succeed, and I'm sure that they welcomed him back this morning, probably with extra welcome, and that he's having a good day there. I have to admit, I did glance at the backpack just to make sure there wasn't a Nerf bullet or something stuck in there. So now we move on and hope there's no other mistakes like that.
You know, if you take the idea of weaponry and this sort of social history out of it and put it on the shelf for just a second, the whole notion of rules and how they're implemented is also really interesting. My daughter's taking an AP test today, and she wanted a watch so she could watch the time in case she didn't get to sit next to the clock, and it can't beep. So she's like, I gave her my watch. Is it silent? Is it complete? It can't light up. It can't. Yeah. I said, well, what happens if your watch beeps? And you get kicked out. It's done. Yeah. You can't take the test. I don't understand. There's a lot of academic honesty, you know, rules when it comes to AP testing. But she was, you know, almost, she was very concerned that she wasn't going to accidentally break that rule. So
And you don't want them to have to go to school scared. I mean, I didn't want to, I emphasized it, but you don't want to overemphasize it, that the kid can't make a mistake. And they told us, we're not talking about, you know, speaking out in class or breaking a rule or something like that. That doesn't bring it. I mean, obviously something on the level of showing up with a plastic, you know, gun would kick it in. So we had that talk, but I also discussed at length with them the idea that I don't think suspension is a very good punishment if a kid isn't a threat, and obviously wasn't a threat. They let him finish the day on Friday after they took the toy gun away from him, and then he was suspended Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday after we had our conversations and things. There's such a push to prevent absenteeism. I hate to see a kid lose 3 days in class over this, and could have been more for certain situations.
Yeah.
I think it's just good to have the conversation, and we're having a conversation, and I admire the fact that they were willing to listen to me and engage me in that.
All kinds of sides for this, for teachers, for administrators, for parents, for the parents of the boy who, you know, reported the incident. You can find the blog post at sdpb.org/Wooster and join the conversation there, and let's talk about it. What does it look like in other districts in the state? What does it look like in South Dakota versus other communities, and are there ways that we can talk to our kids about what this sort of means and what the expectations are, and rule infractions and all kinds of things, and how do we use our judgment?
It's a continuing education process for me at 65, so I've learned some things in the last few days.
My daughter's middle school principal, when we first went to middle school, she said that the hardest thing for her over the years, she was ready to retire, was seeing the loss of innocence of the kids over the years, what they have
to
deal
sad?
With now that they never really had to think about before. So something to chew on. Kevin Wooster, thank you so much for being here. Next week, uranium, perhaps?
Yeah, I think so. Going down to a meeting today, we'll have something to talk about on that next week.
All right. Find On the Other Hand. It's Kevin Wooster's blog, sdpb.org/Wooster. Wooster is W-O-S-T-E-R.